not be more thrilled that my two passions from undergrad of psych and English lit have come together in this way now in my career of being a therapist and also having this new book on the market.
Welcome to Learning from Experience, a podcast for college students and recent grads who want to hear directly from alumni on how they've adjusted their lives post-graduation, including personal stories of success, career readiness, and tips for navigating the real world, created by the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences at Arizona State University. I'm your host, Megan Finnerty, and today I'm talking with Emma Lauer. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
A little bit about our guest. After graduating from ASU in 2014 with degrees in psychology and English literature, she went on to earn her master's in social work from ASU and then started her career as a mental health therapist. But in July of 2023, she published her first book titled DBT Skills for Highly Sensitive People, which is a self-help book for anyone who wants to learn how to use their emotional sensitivity as a benefit and strength. So today, Emma will be sharing about how she combined her career path as a mental health therapist with her passion for reading and writing. To kick things off, Emma, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and your current position?
Yeah, so right now I work as a therapist and clinical supervisor at a small group private practice in Tempe called Find Your Shine. We're a group of about 10 therapists, and we specialize in treating trauma and anxiety disorders. So in my job, I have my own clients that I work with, and I also oversee staff therapists and help them grow as therapists.
Really cool. So when did you know that you wanted to get into that?
Yeah, so I actually, my story, I think, is very unique. Obviously, most people don't know what they want to do career-wise until they're adults. And, sometimes then it changes over many times, which is totally normal. But I actually had the idea I wanted to be a therapist starting when I was like in middle school, because I had a therapist who helped me. And I kind of put the idea in my head that this might be a really rewarding career that, something I could be good at too. And I've just sort of held on to that over the years. And the more I learned about being a therapist and the more I studied, the more confident I felt that it would be a good fit for me. And now here I am.
That's awesome that you came up with that when you were in middle school all the way until now. What brought you to the decision to come to ASU?
Yeah, so I grew up here in the Valley, and I did consider other in-state schools, out-of-state schools, and I liked the idea of still being somewhat close to home while also being on my own, right? You know, even though Tempe is a good half hour from where I grew up, I very much felt like I was living on my own and having the full, you know, typical college experience, being away from home and being in a dorm my freshman year. So it kind of felt like the best of both worlds, I guess, to be close to home and also on campus.
When you were here on campus, were you able to do internships or take any opportunities that introduced you into the field that you're working in today?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So as an undergrad, I did a handful of things related to psychology. So I was a research assistant for the majority of the time that I was an undergrad. And one of the grad students that I was a research assistant for, he was a PhD student in the clinical psych department or the psych department in the area of clinical psych. And he was working at this place called MelMed, and he offered to bring me there to help him run support groups. So through that connection in my research assistant job, I was able to run groups with kids who were diagnosed with ADHD and autism. So that was the first like real clinical experience that I got, I guess. And that was when I was an undergrad. So it was pretty cool. Like that was pretty generous of him to let me have that. But I think that a lot of grad students and professors like giving undergrads those kinds of experiences if they want it. And then in grad school, additionally, I had my internships where I was practicing therapy and getting a lot of clinical experience. And I also decided to volunteer as a victim advocate with the Maricopa County Attorney's Office. I had a classmate who was doing that for her internship, and I just thought it sounded like the coolest thing ever. So I went and did it on a volunteer basis, and that gave me some additional experience as well.
So it sounds like when you were there, you were probably able to explore law and politics and work through political campaigns as a volunteer victims advocate with the county attorney's office. Can you share what those experiences were like and how they shaped the work that you're doing today?
Well, a couple different things. So I think it shaped the work that I'm doing today, and that it gave me hands-on experience connecting with people, you know, with my volunteer work, with the political campaigns. It's obviously very, very different from the world of therapy, but a couple of things. I got experience working directly with constituents in sort of a social worker-y role. And then I also, it kind of, the other way in which it was really impactful is that it kind of helped me rule out other careers I was considering. I had a lot of fun doing like the victims advocate thing, and I had a lot of fun working on political campaigns, and I was considering taking jobs in those areas, and there were experiences I really enjoyed, but ultimately it led me to where I am now. Basically, I had to have the experience in order to rule out other things.
On that same vein of ruling out other things, when you were doing your undergraduate, you decided to get 2 degrees, so one in psychology and one in English literature. Why did you decide to pursue both the sciences and humanities? Was that a part of trying to figure out what you wanted to do in the future, or did they more just interest you?
Yeah, I would say it was more so the latter. I mean, because it interested me so much, I think there was maybe a part of me that was maybe seeing if I could kind of rule it out, or I, you know, would have liked to explore it as a career option. To be honest, at the time, I didn't really see any path forward as far as a career with my English lit degree. So at the time, I told myself it was more like for fun, you know. I told myself the time's going to pass anyway, and if I want to take electives in English, then I might as well add it as a major, you know, and get the second degree while I'm here in these classes. So at the time, I definitely told myself it was more like for fun. And yeah, because I'd always had a passion for English and a passion for reading and writing, and I knew I would want to be in those classes, even though I saw myself as doing the psych degree specifically for my career.
But today you are a mental health therapist and you are a published author. So talk to me about coming up with the idea, deciding to write a book, getting it published. I love actually on the cover of your book, it says, make emotional sensitivity your superpower. Can you tell me a little bit, where did that idea come from? And now looking back, can you see how your English literature degree helped with this project?
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, when I was an undergrad, I maybe, you know, had dreamed about publishing a book someday, but I never would have guessed that I would actually have a book published, especially, you know, at this point in my career. So yeah, I'm incredibly grateful looking back for all I got from my English degree. As far as where the idea for the book came from, so basically I worked to develop that idea with the, what they call them, an acquisitions editor at the publishing company. Their job is basically to help develop ideas with authors so that they can come up with something that they think will sell well, and also something that's like within the therapist's wheelhouse. And so we kind of developed this idea together, but I brought her the idea of helping people feel really empowered by their emotional sensitivity, because it's something I see constantly in my work as a therapist. You know, it's when it comes to treating anxiety, depression, eating disorders. I don't treat substance abuse, but it's relevant to that as well. Being able to, I like to say, make friends with your emotions, and learning how to understand your emotions and use intense emotions to your benefit so that you can understand yourself and your situation better. That's, it's relevant to all of it. So I thought it would be something that, a topic that's widely applicable.
For someone who maybe hasn't gone to therapy before, hasn't been in this arena, do you mind explaining what DBT stands for?
Yeah, so DBT stands for dialectical behavior therapy. And basically, it's a type of therapy that's really focused on helping people build up positive coping skills and helping people understand their emotions a bit better. DBT generally consists of 4 modules. So one is learning mindfulness skills. One is learning what we call distress tolerance skills. So like when your emotions are really, really intense, how it's sort of, I call them break glass in case of emergency skills, emotion regulation skills. And then the 4th one is what we call interpersonal effectiveness skills. So it's helping people build and maintain relationships with others, basically. And yeah, DBT is something that was designed to help people who struggle with intense emotions. But what I've found is that DBT is helpful for all kinds of people, all kinds of situations.
Well, this may be hard as you came up with the entire book, but if you had to pick maybe one or two things that you would love for people to take out of your book, what would you say?
Oh, that's a hard one. I would say my favorite chapter to write was probably the chapter on self-validation. I think self-validation is a really important skill for people to learn. And I wanted the book to feel really compassionate and supportive. And I feel like that comes across in that chapter really strongly. So the self-validation skills come to mind. There's a really practical skill in there called the model for describing emotions that's taken straight from DBT. And it's basically helping you sort of understand the link between the feeling, the emotion that comes up based on some kind of outside or maybe an internal trigger, right? Like someone says something happens in your environment, or maybe you just have like a random thought that pops in your head. That would be the trigger, DBT calls it. And then you have an emotion in response to that. You have thoughts in response to that. You have bodily sensations in response to that. You maybe act on those feelings in some way, you know, and basically the model helps you sort of link all that together and understand yourself better and understand your patterns, which I think can be really valuable. So those are the first couple of things that come to mind.
I think sometimes I hear, at least in my world, sensitivity as a negative term. But what I love about your cover is that it says that it becomes your superpower. Why do you think there is a stigma around sensitivity, and what would you like people to hear instead?
Yeah, I love this question. Thank you for asking that. So I think that there's stigma around it. Partly because we associate being sensitive with being feminine. So I think that for people who aren't feminine, it's stigmatized just solely by being associated with femininity. I think that's part of it. I think that our culture is very focused on, generally, I talk about this in the book too, our culture is very focused on external outcomes, right? Like, what are you accomplishing? What are you doing? It's not necessarily focused on like, how do you feel? What are you feeling? And what messages are your emotions telling you? Like, how can you tune into what your emotions are telling you? And that ties in with what, you know, your second question around what I hope people really get out of it. And I think that's sort of the main message of the book. The main takeaway is that your emotions are like little messengers, right? And they're just there to give you information about what's going on around you, about what's going on within you. And so if you can sort of create like a partnership with your emotions rather than seeing them as this thing that you have to fight, then you can potentially learn a lot and you can accomplish a lot.
Thank you so much for expanding on that. Well, Emma, if you could go back and give your 18-year-old self advice, what would it be? Or what would you encourage students right now in college listening to this podcast?
My thoughts on this are based largely off of what I've learned from experience. And also as a therapist, I work with a lot of college students. So I have learned about this quite a bit in therapy too. I think the two main things I've learned from experience are to be open to saying yes continuously to new opportunities, because you never know where those opportunities may lead, what you'll learn about yourself and what you like. You know, if something interests you and you want to explore it, it's totally worthwhile to say yes, you know, even just for the experience, maybe. And then the other thing that comes to mind is that I think it's really helpful to keep in mind that there are lots of ways for things to work out well. There's no one right path, right? So, you know, things could work out really well in the way that you're imagining. Things could also work out amazingly well in a way that you don't even necessarily realize yet. So if you just keep yourself open to new opportunities, you'll get there in one way or another.
There are lots of different ways for things to work out well. I love that point that you just made. And Emma, if students want to connect with you, what's the best way for them to talk?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm so honored that you guys considered me for this. I can be found on Instagram. My personal handle is emma.lauer, and our practice, Find Your Shine, is on Instagram at Find Your Shine Therapy. And my email, if people want to reach out to me, is emma@findyourshinetherapy.com.
Thank you so much. I am excited to go and read your book to try and make sensitivity my superpower. To hear more alumni advice, head to our episode page wherever you listen to podcasts. You can check out the college's YouTube channel or visit thecollege.asu.edu/LFE podcast. See you next time.